Hello, welcome to the Will to DIY. This podcast is a place for me to sandbox ideas, play with them, tinker with them, build on them, or perhaps just throw them away and get back to work. Okay, to build a little bit more on this Tom Sawyer parable and really just milk it here. If work can be seen as play, then of course this is an attitude shift. And that's what we were sort of talking about in the previous podcast. If the manipulator provides not only pleasure while you're doing the mundane task, he sort of accomplishes some good along the way. And he also is offering a new experience. And he's doing all this without his own physical action, right? This is cognitariat labor he's using to get you to do physical labor. I think there's a series of problems here, and maybe it points out real-world trickery as a productive method. And it's really this how, quote-unquote, simple people can be maneuvered by the, quote-unquote, intelligent to be productive. If all people want to do is play, then we'll give them work and call it play. And then we let these people think it's their choice, right? I think this takes a couple of different paths. If you're one of those people who's stuck at a desk all day working, then when you get home, all of a sudden, the thing that you choose to do might be manual labor, it might be handcraft, it might be getting sweaty, dirty, busting up your knuckles, those kind of things. And this is because it's different. It's an alternate experience. And all of a sudden, we're doing the work that somebody else normally is paid to do, but we're doing it of our own volition. This could sort of equally be said even if you're at an office sitting behind a desk doing internet work all day, but when you get home, you finally get to get online and play video games or surf Reddit or whatever the heck it is you want to do. So there's a deep virtual dive. There's also this physical dive, but both of them are because you don't get to do this thing during work hours. What I find is for me, they both go hand in hand. My hand labor requires YouTube video watching, so I go down wormholes on both ends, buying weird tools and also watching lots and lots of YouTube videos. And both of these feed into the capitalist behavior system, right? So they get to sort of, I'm economically providing on both ends, behavior capital plus physical actual capital to these items that I'm purchasing. And this sort of loops back into this other side of this, is that this is how I'm generating my identity. My identity really comes through my leisure time. It comes through my off hours. It might be the only thing that you can do to make yourself interesting, because I hate to say it, but a job is just a job. If you're doing something out of necessity, then your choices are actually quite limited and we really can't gauge you on those choices. So only the weekends and evenings become definitional, and that means that you have social capital with how you choose to use those times. So you might even be, your time at home watching Netflix is actually part of a social game that you have to do, because if you can't talk about Game of Thrones or something like that, then you lose social capital from the conversations you can get in the future. So now even your video watching time has to be curated around the idea of identifying yourself. So that becomes a version of work as well. And then on the sort of more even base level, if you don't have a manly hobby, are you a man? So some hobbies end up choosing you because of who you want to be seen as. So I know this can get deeper and deeper and we can circle around to it. I know we could get really fussy and say that no one really has a choice because it's all a limited range of socially permissible options and blah, blah, blah. And we could get super pedantic about it, but let's kind of try to avoid that for right now. I think one of the things I really do want to pay attention to, though, is the idea of choice, where work, when chosen, the attitude shifts from authority to play. If you're making the choice, then you think you're playing, even if we've been duped into this. In this book that I listened to a little while back called Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman, it was published in 1985, but he has some really prescient thoughts in there, and he really discusses the media leading us to becoming dumber and dumber through, instead of reading, paying attention to image, we do sound bites. There's this overt simplification of everything because of the medium and the way it works. There's also a flatness of meaning where deaths from a plague might be equal or even lesser news than a celebrity divorce. So we're unable to gauge which thing is more important due to the delivery method. I think if we pair those ideas up with Tom Sawyer's sort of willingness to sell work as play, we have a kind of manipulation of the masses by getting them to become dumber on one hand through the media and then duping them into work as a form of play. if we're taking Sawyer's path here, if you're a teacher and you're forced to teach and you're a student and you're forced to learn, then I think it's all drudgery. And maybe in a weird way, if you're repairing a faucet and you approach it with a willingness to figure it out, you might enjoy the challenge of it. But if everything's drudgery, then I think we're probably subconsciously wanting to be duped into something resembling play. So anyone who can show up and dupe us into having fun becomes our savior. So we can end up spending hours watching these kind of slick programs that took months of production, and they can masquerade as educational. But what really happens is a lot of this information is bombarding us, and it's very passive learning. You're not really required to participate or engage with it. Wherein I think real learning is more like play, and that you can learn that you can learn and how to learn. And as Postman seems to say, then it's sort of a disservice to provide this super slick edutainment, as if every complexity can be boiled down into memes and showmanship and mnemonic devices. At some point, really learning, it sort of became a chore. There's this other side to it, the Tom Sawyer side, where doing things is seen as a sucker's game when sitting on your ass and having somebody else work for you is a viable option. So in this way, we end up sort of training people to develop a deep melancholy for certain forms of self-improvement, maybe even for DIY of the self. And it's similar in the story to Tom sort of looking at this expanse of fence pickets, and he says this deep despair abounds at all the labor in front of him. He reverts to becoming the hustler, to the swindler of friends. He reverts into becoming this sort of cognitariat laborer, right? With other people as his machines and his words as his tools.